Podcasting from Dallas, Texas, I am Shireen, and this is the Yumlish Podcast. Yumlish is working to empower you to take charge of your health through diet and exercise and reduce the risk of chronic conditions like type 2 diabetes and heart disease. We hope to share a unique perspective and a culturally relevant approach to managing these chronic conditions with you each week. Edith Yang's expertise extends to diverse specializations, including pediatrics and Asian culture. Join us as we explore how Edith's knowledge and dedication are expanding access to nutrition care, making a positive impact on health while helping people live their best lives. Let us learn how she is turning nutrition into a powerful tool for change. Stay tuned. Edith Yang is an Asian American registered dietitian who is board certified in renal nutrition, a certified LEAP therapist, fellow of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, cookbook author, and the owner of the Healthy Mission Dietitian Incorporated, a hybrid model insurance-based private practice. Welcome, Edith.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and chatting about nutrition today.
Well, we've got tons of nutrition questions for you. So before we dive into that, Edith, can you tell me a little bit more about your background as a registered dietitian and really your journey into this field of nutrition and dietetics with a specific focus on prevention and also within vulnerable populations?
So I've been a dietitian for a little over a decade now, and I've worked with multiple different populations and age groups, from babies all the way up to the elderly. Initially, I was actually really hesitant to work with those with end-stage diseases, particularly end-stage kidney disease, just because those disease states tend to be really complex. And then the diet is also particularly confusing just because it's very individualized per person. I started to work with those with kidney disease as well as a geriatric population, and basically getting involved with those patients is actually what sparked my interest in helping those that were most vulnerable. In these particular settings, skilled nursing, dialysis centers, I found that a lot of those patients ended up there with these chronic conditions at the end stage, and they had no guidance. They didn't know, some of them didn't even know that they had kidney disease. And so they were also not given any guidance on this particular diet or disease state. So this encouraged me to jump into private practice to get into the chronic disease prevention and management before the diseases ended up progressing to the end stage.
That's interesting. And, you know, when you're talking about sort of this point of care, which is more around end stage, right? You mentioned that many people with chronic conditions really end up in that space, whereas end stage of a particular disease and, you know, a lot of it also ends up being not knowing how they got there, not knowing what all led them up to that point. How can your work and really improved access to nutrition care really change this narrative systemically?
I really believe that our food fuels our body, right? It feeds our cells. And so what I really want to empower people with is understanding how food, nutrition, diet, and lifestyle, how all of these factors can really impact the body, right? Our food, we eat it, and then it breaks down in our body and feeds our body. It feeds our organs. It feeds our cells. So if we nourish our body properly, we can prevent chronic disease. Or if someone does have a particular condition, we can also utilize food, diet, and lifestyle to prevent the progression of that disease and help improve people's quality of life.
You know, Edith, it's interesting that you mentioned this concept around end stage in particular. And for this episode, we really want to focus on kidney disease. Now, kidney disease in itself is a disease that is different at every single stage. So first, I'd like for you to help us understand a little bit about the different stages of kidney disease, and then help us understand what are some common misconceptions around nutrition, because as I understand, even the nutrition needs are different across these stages. So can you just speak a little bit to that?
So kidney disease, like you said, there are different stages, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4, and then there's stage 5. At stage 5, there are some people not on dialysis, and then there are some people who are on dialysis. There are different nutrition recommendations for each stage, and so it really depends on the person and their particular health history, medical history. Those factors do determine kind of how we will guide them as dietitians with their nutrition therapy. Currently, doctors are not really recommended to see. At this point in time, a lot of patients don't know about their disease or chronic kidney disease typically until around stage 4 or stage 5. At least that's what I generally see in my practice. At the stage 1 and stage 2 point, there's also many doctors who aren't even mentioning to patients that they necessarily do have kidney disease. So that's one thing I think that there's this gap between kind of patients getting proper care. Another issue is that I find a lot of patients, because they're not provided with the proper information or education, they go online, they research Dr. Google, they kind of read, you know, either people's own anecdotes about what's helped them, or they just reading information that's maybe outdated. As you know, health research, all these things, medicine, they're always evolving, always changing. We're always finding new things that do help particular conditions, and then also finding out that maybe there's other things that back in the day they used to say would be helpful, but maybe not so much anymore. A lot of patients that do come to me in the beginning, they're barely eating anything. They think that being on a renal diet means not eating anything, and they eliminate so many nutritious foods. Another factor that I've seen that kind of prevents people from getting care, or like they have this misconception, is that dietitians are the food police. And basically they believe that I may be telling them, or another dietitian may be telling them, that they can't eat anything at all and they have to only chomp on salads all day or something like that.
That is so interesting. And you know, when you mentioned Dr. Google, it's a free doctor that's absolutely useless, right? It's the best way to think of it. And it is really quite unfortunate from what you just mentioned. It's so unfortunate that people have these misconceptions where you're talking with people just stop eating or reduce eating. That's got to have such a bearing on the condition that is already complicated to begin with. How do you see sort of people evolving the way they approach their disease, where whichever stage they may be in? How do they evolve through that journey?
I think it really depends on if they have a good healthcare team and a good support system around them. If they really don't have a healthcare provider that's talking to them about their chronic disease state, or family that's supportive of their condition and like wanting to help them survive and thrive, that really kind of determines whether or not they're going to evolve in a positive way throughout their disease state or in a negative way.
That's helpful. You have such a diverse range of specializations, from kidney disease to pediatrics, and working also within Asian cuisine. How do you really tailor your nutrition recommendations to suit the unique needs of each population or even related conditions?
So I look at each patient as a unique individual, and I want to get that comprehensive history from them, medical history, health history. I also want to take a look at their current lifestyle and also any food preferences or cultural religious food practices that they might follow. And I use all of this information to tailor a nutrition plan that's going to best fit their specific needs.
That's helpful. Can you provide us specific examples, again, with this focus on kidney disease, on what kind of recommendations you would provide, for instance?
I'm really, really lucky. I have such amazing patients, and I just love this kind of area of nutrition that I'm in. Honestly, every day I feel like I've been able to make such a positive impact on my patients' lives. I'm super duper honored to be a part of their health journey. Because of the way that I approach this as very person-centered, right? Not like patient, but person-centered, I'm able to help people learn to enjoy food again and not be afraid. And I'm empowering them to take control of their specific condition.
And so can you give us an example of what that looks like in action?
Yeah, so I educate them on how their food may impact their lives. If they weren't given any background on their particular stage of kidney disease, I kind of go over that as well, because I think it's really important that for them to understand, and really just providing education at a level that they are at and a level that they understand to help them kind of be empowered and not afraid of what's going on with them is really the way that I can help my patients to just thrive and survive.
Oh, I love that. What are the primary barriers or challenges that you see specifically in vulnerable populations when trying to access nutrition care? And how can some of these barriers really be addressed? We hear about social determinants of health all the time. What do you see? And again, how do you work with them?
Yeah, there are so many factors that really can kind of prevent patients from getting care. A lot of patients don't know that they have nutrition coverage. I think insurance in America is a very complex beast where even people in the medical field probably can't even explain kind of all the nuances and all of the specifics regarding around nutrition coverage. So that's one thing. And then as you mentioned, the social determinants of health, I think there's so many, you know, factors there, transportation, support, language barriers. Also, often people with kidney disease often have other comorbidities. And so they may have lots of doctor's appointments that can prevent them from getting, you know, other types of care. I think, too, there's also those stigmas about dietitians. And I do like to focus, too, on the language, because in America, we are not like a melting pot, but my husband likes to call it a tossed salad, right? All these different cultures that are kind of together, mixed together in this country. There's not a lot of dietitians, particularly from different cultural backgrounds. And I think that's a real barrier too. I've had many Chinese patients come to me and say, it was so hard to find you. Everyone else I talked to wasn't of my same background. And so they don't really understand what I'm eating and they can't help me, right? They're just telling me to eat XYZ, but those are not the foods that I necessarily eat. And so I'm not used to that. So I really like, they're just really excited to kind of see someone that understands their food preferences and cultural food concerns.
I feel like there's a lot to be said for, you know, picking up on this element that you mentioned around cuisine and then really culture. Specifically, as we're talking about Chinese cuisine and culture, how do cultural factors really influence nutrition choices? So the obvious one is, of course, some of the ingredients that we would cook with. But can you speak to it more from a broader lens? And then how can you help individuals from diverse cultural backgrounds really, again, help make those healthy food choices, especially as we're talking about something as complicated as kidney disease?
Yeah. So for me, I'm of Chinese background. And on the Eastern side of the world, there's like a lot of different approaches to nutrition as well as medicine. So for myself, I like to be aware of those specific approaches that may come from Eastern medicine. And I want to be respectful of those beliefs, right? Because respect is really, really important. In some cases, some of the approaches from Eastern medicine may not necessarily be the most appropriate approaches to a patient's care. So in those cases, like, you know, I will educate patients and let them know, but not in a disrespectful way, but kind of explaining like, you know, this might be actually harmful to a particular organ in your body or something like that. And I would advise them to discontinue that. On the other side, though, if I do find that there are some approaches from Eastern medicine that are appropriate and that may be beneficial, I'll also let the patient know that as well. As far as food choices, again, it's my duty to be respectful and to understand people's food choices. And to, if I'm not aware of a particular food or not really sure about that, to do my due diligence, research about it to find out if it's going to be beneficial or perhaps it may be high in a particular nutrient that a patient needs to pay attention to. Again, it's my duty to be respectful of people's different cultural cuisines and understand and provide that nutrition information that's going to be inclusive of what that patient eats. Again, it's not realistic, right, for me to tell you to eat something that's out of your particular cultural cuisine.
That is interesting that you mentioned the importance of culture. I do also want to switch gears and talk a little bit about children and caregivers. What unique considerations should parents, caregivers be aware of when it comes to nutrition care for children with kidney disease?
Yeah, so this population is a more difficult population to kind of provide nutrition intervention for just because children are very particular about they want to eat. They're also their taste buds, I believe, at that age. I think that there are certain flavors that are a lot stronger in their mouths or on their taste buds. And so really not trying to force anything upon them, but kind of meeting them where they're at. Involving the child in their care is really important, especially if they're at an age where they can speak and they do have their own opinions. So being really conscious and involving them, and also trying to educate them, again, at a level that they're at. So I'm not going to be throwing out complex medical jargon when I'm speaking with them, but I'll kind of, you know, break it down into a way that is more easy for them to understand. In particular, too, you can also kind of take approach of like what they're currently learning in school and trying to like apply it in the same manner like that. But really, it's involving the child, learning or getting to know their food preferences as well, to kind of be able to tailor something that they're actually going to eat and not be, you know, having mealtimes be a battlefield.
Absolutely. How do you envision, or what do you envision rather, for the future of nutrition care, especially as it evolves? You know, you mentioned a few moments ago that the science is continuously evolving. Where do you see things trending toward when it comes to nutrition care for people with kidney disease?
I think that now there are more and more people that are wanting to know and be aware about nutrition and making better choices. I envision, or I would love to see, a world where there's more people who are more knowledgeable about kidney disease and working on prevention. I really think that we need to kind of start at a younger age. I think that there should be more nutrition education being taught to children and parents to promote healthy habits. I think it really starts there.
If you have to say something to the parents who are here, or even adults just in general, around managing their nutrition, around managing, again, the strong focus on kidney disease, where would you tell them to start? Where would they go after this episode?
I would recommend parents to reach out to a dietitian, actually. I know that there's a lot of information on the internet, which some I think are positive, but there are also a lot that can be kind of negative information. So reaching out to a dietitian or following someone's blog or maybe their social media that is a dietitian is a good place to start. Checking with their insurance, if there's, you know, insurance coverage to meet with a dietitian, I think is also good practices or good ways to kind of figure out the right information. Because again, if you just go to someone just to follow them, you know, it may not be information that's tailored specifically to you, especially if, you know, there's family history of something or something else going on that you may need a little bit more personalized nutrition approach for.
That's very helpful. At this time, Edith, we are toward the end of the episode. I would love for our listeners to know how they can connect with you and learn more about your work.
Yeah, so I have a blog on my website, and also my website is probably the best place of information to find out more about me. It's healthymissiondietitian.com. I also post on Instagram once in a while at healthymissiondietitian. I started a TikTok, but I'm, you know, an older person, so I'm, you know, not as hip on that. But if you'd like to, you can follow me there at healthymission.dietitian, and also Facebook as well.
Love it. I don't think anyone, like majority of the population, can ace TikTok to begin with. It's nothing. I don't think it has anything to do with age. It's like a whole another beast of its own. So yeah, do not be hard on yourself when it comes to TikTok.
Thank you.
Yeah, but this is very helpful. Thank you so very much for your time here today, Edith. To our listeners who tuned in to another episode this week, thank you so much for joining us. And you know what time it is. Head over to our social media, to our Facebook, to our Instagram, and answer this super, super simple question. How do you stay proactive on the topic of nutrition around your loved ones with kidney disease? And it can really be any kind of chronic condition, but tell us, how do you stay proactive on all sorts of nutrition topics associated with that particular disease? Again, head over to our social media at Yumlish, either on Facebook and Instagram, and we will see you there. Edith, thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Yumlish podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media at Yumlish _ on Instagram and Twitter, and at Yumlish on Facebook and LinkedIn for tips about managing your diabetes and other chronic conditions, and to chat and connect with us about your journey and perspective. You can also visit our website, yumlish.com, for more recipes, advice, and to get involved with all of the exciting opportunities Yumlish has to offer. If you like this week's show, make sure to subscribe so you can hear more from us every time we post. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.
remember, your health always comes first. Stay well.